This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Just a few days away now until the Wyoming Cowboys and the Colorado State Rams kick off their seasons, renew their rivalry. A big one coming up. Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Cody, we're gearing up, man. We're getting dangerously close to what should be a good game this weekend between the Cowboys and the Rams.
Yes, we are. I'm ready, man. Kind of like the coach keeps saying that the players are sick of playing against each other. I'm sick of just covering the same stuff. I'm ready for an opponent myself. So what better opponent than CSU?
You know, what do you make of this whole quarterback thing? Because there's even Rams fans here that are like, oh, come on, why are we playing games? I don't have an issue with it. Now, if whoever starts is bad against Wyoming and then we do this whole thing again starting up next Monday, then I start to get annoyed by it. But right now, I don't have a problem with it.
It reminds me of, I believe it was the 2023 season, Craig Ball was doing the same thing, even though it was blatantly obvious that Andrew Peasley was going to be the quarterback. He still put TBA on the sheet ahead of the Illinois game. And after Peasley's performance in Champaign, TBA probably should have started that game because it was brutal. But, yeah, it's just kind of funny. Sometimes these old coaches just kind of, they just, I don't know. I don't get it, man. But, I think it seems pretty apparent after everything I've looked at and all the things I've read from Kevin and Justin, and it looks like it's Hoss Haney's job. And I know the Cowboys are preparing for both of those guys, but, you know, neither one of them have a ton of experience. But Hoss Haney drove Oklahoma State right down the field twice last year in Stillwater in the opener, and OSU's only win of the year. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting, but I also just think it's kind of goofy.
I mean, it's most of the time I look at quarterback decisions, and if it's like, okay, these guys aren't – like the Broncos had this with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, and it's like, okay, come on, just name a guy and let's move on. But they're both young guys. One guy, to me, has a little bit of an advantage because he was with Jim Moore. The other guy maybe has an advantage because he's a transfer from a bigger program, not a very good program, but a bigger program. So I get both sides. It makes sense to me, but at the end of the day, Wyoming, I would imagine, is preparing for both guys.
Yeah, they are. And whoever CSU's quarterback is, he knows it. The guy knows it. The team knows it. You know, they've known it for a long time. They're just keeping it from the media, and they're keeping it away from Wyoming, as Jim Moore said yesterday. But, I don't know. I mean, I think both of their skill sets appear to be pretty similar. And I just think Hoss Haney, he looks like he's the guy. He's a year older. He's got a little bit more experience. You know, he was a four-star quarterback coming out of Texas high school, won two state titles in Texas. So, you know, neither one of them have a lot of experience at this level. But I would say experience-wise, period, Hoss Haney's done a lot of winning in his life.
Yeah. And that was from the get-go. Once we found out that Hoss Haney was going to be in CSU, we kind of all just penciled him in as the starting quarterback. It wasn't until you know, maybe earlier in fall camp when Kason Farrar's name started popping up as, okay, wait a second, he might push this guy. But either way, as you said, the important note is, from what we've heard, they're both very similar to how they play. So for Wyoming, it's not like you're preparing for a pocket passer and or a mobile guy. Both guys are going to be doing essentially the same things.
Well, and Farrar's no slouch himself. I mean, he was the top-rated recruit out of the state of Virginia coming out of high school. I mean, it's kind of amazing that UConn landed a guy like that in the first place, especially in the South. But, they do have similar skill sets. And, you know, it's so funny. Listening to Jim Moore yesterday in his press conference, that's the exact same stuff we've been hearing from Jay Sobel for a month now. You know, you don't know how they're going to utilize their personnel. 18 guys, I believe, came over from UConn with Jim Moore, but a lot of those guys didn't play much. So you don't know much about these guys. So you're pouring over film. You know, I know Sobel and company have been pouring over UConn film. I wouldn't be surprised if they've even been going back to UCLA film, things like that. So, you know, Price Tracy has never called a game before at this level. So, it's so much newness that both coaches pretty much have it pegged. And, you know, it is coach speak, but it's also true. You got to worry about yourself. Tackle, shuck blocks, trust your eyes, do the right things, don't make any silly mistakes. That's what you have to do until you get in the rhythm of the game and see how personnel is going to be used.
It's just so interesting, too. We're doing, I'm going to do this for the Cowboys later this week, but today I'm asking Rams fans, why will CSU beat Wyoming? And it's all like new coach, you know, new attention to detail, all that stuff. Nobody really knows at this stage right. Who they got.
Well, Micah just asked me before we went on the air what my thoughts were on it. It's hard to say, man. It's just really hard to say on both sides. I mean, if you went down the list and wrote it on a piece of paper, like, basically, why should I dump this chick or why should I stay with this chick? You could go down and you could make your best guess, but there's really not a lot of solidified things. You know, I was writing about Tommy Maher, for instance, the wide receiver there at CSU. He's one of the only guys remaining on that offense who's done anything against Wyoming, especially. And, you know, it's a lot of new faces and a lot of new things. And like we've talked about on your show, how are you going to teach an entire new roster, especially guys like DeMonde, their awesome linebacker, who's from the Bronx, to hate the Wyoming Cowboys? It's probably not going to be an easy task.
How do you do that, by the way? I've always wondered that, especially nowadays, man. Like, what do? You put them in a room and you strap them down to a table and make them watch footage of your opponent over and over again. And just, yeah. It's like torture almost. And then you come out of it like a robot. And you're like, I hate CSU.
Yeah, well, maybe CSU does that. But in Wyoming, and I've heard this from numerous, numerous guys who are new to this, everywhere you go, Brady, every restaurant you go into, people stop you and say, hey, welcome to Wyoming. Glad you're here. You have to beat Colorado State. Every single person says that. And it's not just in Laramie. It's when they come over to Cheyenne. It's when they even go up to Jackson Hole. It's at every small town rodeo in Wyoming. Everybody tells you, hey, welcome. Glad you're here. You have to beat the Rams.
Well, and Cody, how much of that, too, is the Josh Allen thing? You know, Josh being one of the most famous NFL players, and anytime he gets a chance to, especially when he's speaking around Cowboys fans, it's always something along the lines of, hey, and it will always suck to be a CSU Ram. I mean, how much do these younger guys come in, go, yeah, Josh Allen's amazing, and he hates the Rams. Those are two things we know about the guy.
Yeah, that's funny. There's probably something to do with that, with these young guys especially. But another thing I keep hearing, Brady, is, you know, there's not a ton of Wyoming natives on the roster. I believe there's about 10 of them. But they're another key to this cog during this week, especially to tell these new guys what it means. And then you got a guy like Brian Hendricks, who's the defensive ends coach. He coached at CSU. His dad and grandpa were great, great All-American type players at CSU. And he decided to go to Wyoming. He also gets up in front of the team and speaks on it. And then you have Javon Bonite, who was an all-time great wide receiver at Wyoming, who's the wide receiver coach, who was going to go to Colorado State, but they didn't want him to play quarterback. So he went to Wyoming, and Wyoming ended up not letting him play quarterback either. But, you know, you get to talk to those guys there on your staff, and they get to tell you with tears in their eyes what it means to win this game and beat that team.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Tell me, what do you know about Wyoming like this year? You know, we know defensively, we've talked about that a lot. We know who the quarterback is for the Cowboys. But what do you expect, like, as far as the offensive game plan this year for Wyoming? Because it just hasn't been there. What do you see from Jay Sovell that leads you to believe, okay, we're gonna try to get this going early in this game against CSU?
You know, when you have a guy like Toad Harris in the backfield, he's a guy who's really special, and he's on all these preseason watch lists, and he's a guy, I think I told you last week, that, you know, he was recruited by the who's who of college football out of San Antonio, but when he tore his knee, his phone quit ringing, and Wyoming stayed on him, and he's here, and this is year two. Last year, in a really bad offense, he still led the team with 500 rushing yards, so he's put on 22 pounds in the offseason, and I think it's going to revolve around that guy. Three offensive linemen are going to be making their first FBS starts in this game. But the way Christian Taylor, the new offensive coordinator, operates is, hey, we need to make life easier on those guys. They can't be blocking dudes for 4 to 5 seconds. And that was a big problem last year. And you couple that with Caden Anderson not being mobile last year as well. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. So I think Tyler Hughes is just a creature of habit. He's, you know, Jay Sovell just said on Saturday after practice, you know, other guys are getting ready to go do their things and be teenagers, and there's Tyler Hughes up in the watching game film. So he's just a different kind of guy. He's driven. He's older. He's ready to go. He's sharing a brain with his OC. And I just think a combination of what Hughes can do, which Hughes can run and pass, which is something that, you know, they had a little bit with Andrew Peasley, but other than that, they've either had guys who can pass or guys who can run, and it hasn't been the dual threat you need. So I just think he is he's the unbelievable leader this team needs and a leader that this offense especially was missing the last 2 years.
Well, tell us a little bit about Hughes, too. You said, like, he's a student of the game. How does that differ from quarterbacks you've seen, you know, especially like these past few years?
Well, he has a maturity about him and a drive about him, Brady. And, you know, every time I come on here, I'm not trying to dump on Caden Anderson. I'm certainly not trying to dump on Evan Sabota. But imagine yourself, if you were not doing well at your job, how are you going to be an effective leader? Every week you go out there and things don't go right, and then you're going to scream at other guys and tell them they need to do their job. It's an impossible task. And when Tyler Hughes came in, he flat out said, hey, I'm holding all of you guys accountable, and I want you to hold me accountable as well. And, yeah, by all accounts, man, every single person you talk to on this team, and you can tell when it's just BS or when it's true, when the eyebrows raise and the head shakes and people go, yeah, dude, he's the real deal. This guy is just always around. He's always doing this. He is in love with playing the game of football. That is just something we haven't seen. And, yes, Caden Anderson loves the game of football. So does Evan Sabota. This guy's just different, man. He's wired different, and it's just it's a vocal thing, and it's a thing where he proves it on the field and he shows it. And that's just something I imagine was really hard for the last two guys. When you're not doing your job correctly, it's pretty hard to yell at anybody else.
We've been saying it for a few years now. If you can keep the magic of a Jay Sauvell defense but add a little bit of offense, and that starts with the quarterback – yep. Then I really think Wyoming can be a damn good football team. I know it's like an obvious thing. Well, if you had a good defense, you have a good offense. But their defense is just so ridiculously good. If you just have an ounce of offense to move the ball down the field, you know, switch up, you know, change up the field position, all that stuff, then Wyoming has a really good chance of being a great football team.
Yeah, I think last week, once again, I don't remember the numbers, but Wyoming's something like 40-6 when they score at least 21 points in the last 5-6 years, whatever it is. And it's just that shouldn't be that hard to do in today's day and age, to put up 3 touchdowns in 4 quarters per game. So you know, the 16 points a game last year were nothing short of an embarrassment. And that's another thing, man. You run into a guy like Christian Taylor, he's just young, he's 42 years old. He, you know, I did a story with him last week where I said, are you going to be in the booth calling plays? And he looked at me like I just took a dump on the floor. And he's like, why would I be up in the booth? He's like, I'm going to be on the sideline. I want to see my guys eye to eye, and I want to tell them what's up, and, you know, all that good stuff. So he's kind of a whiz too, and he's kind of a guy who's always in the film and always doing his thing too. And they think if there is an edge this week, it's the fact that Tyson Summers is back. They just want to see, you know, how he deploys his guys. They figure Demonde, I'm probably butchering his name, but they figure that dude is probably going to fill right in for Owen Long, and that's going to be the focal point of CSU's defense. So the guy is just he's almost like a mad scientist, and the little protege there is Tyler Hughes.
All right, Cody, before we let you go, what is it going to take? Wyoming wins this game if this happens.
I think they need to run for at least 200 yards as a team, obviously force a couple of turnovers. Basically the blueprint of what you saw Wyoming do to CSU last year. I think CSU is going to be held off the scoreboard this year? No. But, I mean, that is basically the blueprint, except for if you ask Jay Sauvell off the record, they should have scored about 56 in that game. So I think Tyler Hughes is the X factor in this thing. I think Haas Haney is super, super talented. I think Ferrar is super talented. I just think they have so many new pieces and so many new voices in their ears. Wyoming does not have that issue, and they have Tyler Hughes. And I just think that's going to put them over the top. This is a guy who's driven. He's here to prove he can do it at the FBS level. He accounted for 31 touchdowns last year at William & Mary. Give me the Wyoming Cowboys winning this one in Fort Collins. Not 28-0, but I think it's going to be a good game. But I think this is where we see Tyler Hughes' maturity and him maybe picking up a few of those crucial third downs with his legs throughout the game that keeps some drives alive.
Maybe one of those tight games, and then they're able to just move the chains or whatever it is late in the game and hold on.
Yep, that's exactly what I see, and I think that's where that veteran maturity comes in. I also see a guy like Eric Richardson catching a few crucial balls too and picking up a couple third downs himself. And like you said, and we talk about all the time, Brady, I just think Wyoming's defense, led by Ethan Solsatz, I just think they're still too good. Don't know what CSU's defense is going to look like. I know they have good safeties. I know the middle linebacker's really good, but what else do they have?
Yeah, well, time will tell, man. We're less than a week away. So this weekend, Saturday, 4 o'clock, the Border War 2026 version. Cody, always appreciate your work, your insight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Brady. Have a good week, bud.
All right, you too. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Mike, you feel any different about where you're going to go for this game? CSU three and a half point favorite, something like that.
I'm going to go 60% chance CSU loses and 40% chance CSU wins.
What is that?
It's a half cop out.
That is almost a full cop out. I think that's.
It's a half cop out. It is 60% cop out, 40% an answer.
40% of the time, it works every time. That's basically what you just said to me.
I think it was like 90% of the time it works every time.
Yeah, something like that. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, this is why when we have these insiders on, Mike, they're so close to their stuff that they're covering it. They can get you excited about anybody.
Yeah, there are a lot of question marks with both of these teams.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I'm not giving a definitive answer.
Wyoming,
because I don't want to be wrong like I was with UNC.
Yeah, Wyoming is like, okay, Tyler Hughes, Samuel Harris. I mean, nickname is Tote. Guy like that, you know, you don't get the nickname Tote if you're not toting. Is it really changed? Is Wyoming offense really going to move the ball up and down the field 16 points a game last year?
Depends on CSU's defense.
Yeah. And then CSU. We don't know anything about them, man. We don't know about the identity just yet. We know about Jim Mora's past identities with UConn and such, but how much does that really teach us about what to expect from this team this season?
I bet you have a bunch of people on that team that like to go in the mountains and hiking. I think that's what I'm going to say.
What does that mean?
I mean, the coach likes to hike.
Okay.
So he maybe he's like, you know,
fitness,
what, I'm
going to
get
I'm
a bunch of people who like to hike.
Oh,
and
okay.
We can all go.
All right. On that note, 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break. Wrap up hour number one. Coming up, we got top stories of the day. A little Rockies talk with Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. All that and more coming up next.
Stay in the know.
I drink. And I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.